Hi everybody, and welcome to today's edition of the This Is My Lockdown podcast. I have lost track of what number of lockdown we're in. Is it 5.0, 4.0?
It's true.
I do not know. All I know is that we've been stuck at home for almost a year, and it's getting tiring, to say the least. But I recently found out that lockdown, and everybody hates the term at this point, but lockdown is synonymous with a safe space. And this is what we are really hoping to create with this podcast, a safe space where we can discuss mental health and well-being issues, because these things are really relevant during these really trying times, especially for our Black community, knowing that there are so many health inequalities and things that are going on that need to be addressed, especially when it comes to mental health, as I've already said. So what we hope to create with this podcast, with this Is My Lockdown podcast, is a safe space to discuss these mental health issues that are within our Black community from a very culturally sensitive perspective, where people can understand that it's okay to not be okay, but to seek help where and when they can, and to allow people that to remember that there is help available. Again, I can't stress that enough, and remind us that we within our communities have the capabilities and the strengths within our culture and all the things that are happening around us to actually maintain good mental health. But if we don't talk about it, we can't transform the narratives, really. So this is what this podcast is about. We're proudly sponsored by the National Lotteries, and this is part of our COVID response as a This Is My City brand. So you are welcome to the This Is My Lockdown podcast. Today I have with me the stars, the amazing Roger Moore and the amazing Nikki Tapa. They have Nikki has over 20 years of radio experience. I don't even know what I'm doing here. Roger owns the studios where I'm recording these podcasts in. So again, I don't like, yeah, they are going to own the show today, okay? But today we're going to discuss a bit of a sensitive topic, and talking earlier, we've just been discussing what kind of trying to get a balance between faith and mental health within our Black communities. So for the This Is My Lockdown podcast edition today, this is what we're going to be discussing. So I have with me again Roger Moore and Nikki Tapa. We'll go ladies first and have Nikki tell us
why,
about
thank
herself.
You. It's that's all cool. Right, Angela. Thank you very much. And so your first point to me is a little bit about me, or more so just straight into what?
No, a little bit about you.
About me? Yeah. Golly. Well, as you said, yes, 20-something years in radio broadcasting, mainly on, or still there, on local radio for BBC, or BBC local radio for us here in the West Midlands. So I've been on there coming up to 18 years. But radio, I suppose from a young child, has always been part of my life. I didn't have a TV when I was younger, so I always had radio in mind. I didn't think I'd end up being in there, because actually my career was as a teacher. So I ended my teaching and management career 2 years ago now to pursue the self-employed life, hashtag self-employed life, which has been a journey, especially over this time. But in recent months, which was really good, you know, Roger and I, thankfully, our friendship in a way goes back many years. Our families were both at the same church, so we kind of grew up with each other in that way. And so it was just a joy to get asked to be part of the Affinity Extra team and present a show that is really me. I am a talker. Mm-hmm. So radio definitely suits me. But the joy of music as well. So where are we now? 3 months in? 4 months in into Affinity?
That's almost 6 now.
No, my gosh. Oh, wow. Look at that. It's gone. That time has gone. So I really enjoyed the journey so far with Affinity Extra. So that's where, in a sense, the other arm of what I do. And then, I suppose, another spin-off. But one stage, I was very fortunate. I felt the Lord had really blessed me to have teaching as a main career, radio presenting, and then hosting events. So I've done everything from weddings, parties, to outdoor live events as well. Okay. So that's a little of me.
That's a lot about Nikki. I didn't know all of this. I read it, but yeah, it's nice hearing it from you.
Well, you read it. I don't remember putting it up. Sorry.
No. People talk about you. You know,
okay,
you're that
yes,
famous.
Yes.
Trust me.
Roger.
Okay, about me. where they were start about 20 odd years ago, you know, as a young kid in church, and just got frustrated with the sound of gospel music, because I was a teenager that looked at my friends listening to drum and bass, and I was listening to choirs and stuff, and I thought, hold on a second, this doesn't sound too right to my generation. So I had a choice: do I create it myself, or do I go out there and enjoy it at the institute? And I decided to be the one that was left and work on a sound which is UK, but it was our way of presenting the gospel. And over the years I've focused on producing, and then I moved into more media, set up my own magazine, and gone from that to video production. Now the one thing that I didn't want to do, which was radio, I ended up doing, running it online. I'll call it a media platform, just to keep away from the radio term, but effectively radio. But the real thing is for me to create positive, is for people in our community to eat positive of music, because I feel that we'll probably chop into this anyway, is that we are purely as a Black community being put out there as a community that does crime through their music, and that is being promoted, that we are criminals through music, and whether the kids like it or not, other communities do not lift up this message, only our. So there must be something behind this, and for me, instead of moaning about it, I'm going to do something about it, and the positive music that we do have, we're going to be promoting that. So that's where I'm at, and that's my heart, because it's positive.
Yeah, and that's amazing, because we are really all about changing the narrative, aren't we? And I like that point about music, and we'll get back into it a lot, I mean, a bit later in. We're going to talk about faith and mental health, and I'm going to read out a few statistics, because the researcher in me cannot go away without putting the research out there, you know. So we've been in a global pandemic for, I've lost track of time. How long?
Since, well, officially March, wasn't it, last year? I always remember it, March the 23rd, officially.
So,
2020, my gosh.
Yeah, and it's 2020. So, yeah, we've been in there for, like, almost a year over a year, if you're counting in Chinese time. I mean, it started in China, that's what I mean.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Oh, did it? Or did anyway? Sorry.
Yeah, but... yeah, but, I mean... It's been hard, and I've been quite curious to know if more people have become more religious or have found a faith during this period, because in times of such uncertainty, there's people always want something to turn to, you know, and I actually thought the statistics would be a lot more overwhelming anyway, because maybe within the UK, not as much, but I've heard so many reports all over the world of people turning to religion or faith or a higher power, because we've been stuck in our homes with ourselves and our family, and everybody's driving each other crazy, you know, and people have been trying to find, you know, that safe space where they can just commune or reflect. And I found a few statistics on here. Who did the research again? It's by Theos. They say that YouGov did a polling by Paul Bickley, and what they found was that with regards to religion and faith in the UK, pre-lockdown, 45.3% people were affiliated with Christianity, 2.9% Islam, 3.9% non-Christian, and 45.7% didn't associate with any religion at all. But post-lockdown, as at the time they did the study, that was in March 2020, I believe it has increased by now anyway. Christianity has increased by 1%, so it's 46.3% now. Islam is still 2.9%, 4.0% for non-Christians, and 44.9% for people with no religion. So, I mean, even if it's just 1% of the percent, I mean, the population, something has changed, you know? And this is what we're trying to discuss, that what is making people want to be more religious. I mean, I know we live in a really secular community or country where a lot of people aren't religious or have no faith, or, you know, all of that. And I mean, that's fine. Everybody is, welcome to have their opinion with regards to faith. But when it comes to mental health, what role do you think our faith or your faith or your religion has played in your mental health and well-being, and what it means to you?
Well, for me, it's definitely been key. I can't sit here and not say that my personal journey is, if I didn't have faith in Jesus, I don't know what it would be like. Because if I have faith in him and I found it difficult at times to not have a faith, I would think that would be a struggle. But as you rightly said, people have their freedom of choice. We're in a democratic society, so of course you don't have to. But I think it's been really, it's a great balance of mind and thinking and action that I found I've needed in my faith. So my faith in Jesus has really propelled me to see things differently and actually recognize that I serve an almighty God, a God that really has things in control that I can't see. Because, well, I suppose, as you rightly say, we'll come on to that, because we're in a society that says I've got the right to do whatever I want to do, I can choose how I want to live, the pandemic has shown there are things outside of us that we can't manage, that you can't understand. And the rise in people struggling with their mental health, I would say, has come from the fact that they've strived too much to try and sort it out themselves, and then it sent them doolally, or it just sent them really off kilter. And where I believe, for me, having a faith, having the Christian faith, has given me that sense of balance that I really can hand over certain things to the Lord, and he's going to sort it out. Not in a magical sense of the word. You know, like, oh yes, I'm going to just send out my wand and I'm going to, oh yeah, send it all away. Don't worry, which is where I feel, unfortunately, the way Christianity has been painted in years gone by, people see this God of, well, he's just going to come, you know, he's either a God of fear and battering and major discipline, or he's a kind of, I've lost the word, just gone, but you know, he's that kind of Harry Potter-esque type of God that's just going to throw out a wand and wave things out of the window. But I don't believe that. I do believe that he has given us enough strength to deal with what we need to deal with, but we need to rely on him, not on ourselves.
Thank you, Nikki. Roger?
Okay, I'm going to be a bit more controversial than that, because I, you know, and I totally agree with Nikki 100%, you know, without faith, it's hard. I've seen a lot of people struggle even within faith, within Christianity. There's a lot of Christians right now that probably said, yo, I'm a Christian, you know, that realistically you're suffering right about now. They are struggling with their journey. And now I want to be specific towards Black Christianity and the things that we've suffered in the lockdown. Now, since the lockdown happened, we've faced the highlight of injustices of our community through the whole Black Lives Matter, which again we've been that's a whole other subject. Am I allowed to say it or not? As a Christian, you know, I believe I am, because I believe that Black Lives do matter. I feel like, you know, but that's a whole other subject in itself. We've had to battle with that and actually look in the mirror, because we're in lockdown. We've had to look in the mirror and had time to look in the mirror without somebody telling us within 2 seconds what's right and wrong. And there's been a lot of challenges in that area, because we haven't dealt with the injustices within Christianity and what the church has done historically. So people are asking questions and no answers being given. So that's a struggle for Black Christians right now, and Black people of faith within the Christian realm. Also, the reality show is that for my Nigerian colleagues, they were here and seeing the thing that was happening in Nigeria, you know what I'm saying? That was massive to them. You know, I spoke to a number of my, I believe it was SARS. That was a you know, talking, they're literally broken, you know, stuck in here watching their country break down. So we, as a community, have had these external things happening. And my question to people is, what would our faith look like after lockdown? Yeah, and you know what I'm saying? And I believe within our community, and you know, we're talking about Black and mental health, when we're talking about Black faith, in terms of all I can do is talk about Christianity, people are learning through other formats now, where we relied solely on a guy on the pulpit teaching us every Sunday from a place that we pay our tithes to, we trust and whatsoever. Now people have got other sources through YouTube, opinions and different things, and people are getting resentful of certain things that seen in the past and how we've been treated over certain subjects, because they're learning out more truth through the technology we have. So it's going to be interesting. The stats are great, but are the stats true? You know what I'm saying? Because how do we define Christian? If you phone me up, yeah, I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
But where you go? Where are you going? Yeah, yeah. I ain't going nothing. I know people that literally said, I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to be feeding through online. And that's it. You know what I mean? So sorry for raising another question right there. but 100% faith has helped me have hope. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, have a target. But not in a sense of, oh, I'm going to jump off the cliff and something God will hold me up. Not from that mindset. Just that mindset to get up, meditate on the word, keep focusing on and eating correctly in terms of how I do my mind and my body, you know, which is biblical.
Yeah, because you'd said to us before, I think, or that question had come up, you know, what is mental health anyway? How do I determine? And I was breaking it down, going, mental health is having a healthy mindset.
Yeah, yeah.
And as with anything, I think, you know, Roger's right. There's things that you... Because it's never been painted as politically or socially Christian faith or the Black British experience of Christianity. Mm. I have to, you know, we've got to define it because that's still different to Black African based British experience to Black Caribbean. Mm. And so I think because of the background we're both coming from in the sense, it was always being painted as you don't ask the questions. It was a very legalistic approach.
Yeah.
And if you were fortunate, that's why I have to be careful. And I know, you know, Roger, I have to say that I know that not all Black Christian, I have to talk about the Black British Caribbean experience, and not all Black British Caribbean experience has been negative. And of course, as with any setup, there have been those where they have flourished. But yes, if you didn't choose individually to think outside of that perimeter that you were set in, it would have been, and this time would have been very difficult because it contradicts in a way what we've heard over the many years in terms of healing. Because when we talk about healing and we talk about the mind, we have either the way it was predicted in terms of the parables of Jesus. You had the demonic possessed man that, you know, Jesus went up to him and the demons in him, and said, we're legions, we are many. Yeah. Oh my gosh. So we had this rather kind of animated picture of there was a whole heap of people in this one man, and the Lord just stretched out and healed him, and they all flew into the pigs and the pigs flew over there. So it's a real bizarre picture because you don't have that picture now. We don't. What's that look like for us in the 21st century, you know, the year 2020 going into 2021? What does that look like? So when you're, as Roger's saying, rightly so, when you're at home now, you don't have to get up to this building. Again, all that was tradition. And Nig, every Sunday, you knew you put on your clothes and you went to church and, you know, and you'd hear something. And it wouldn't really always address what you may be even going through at that time, whether it's a broken marriage or it's a child you're concerned about or their education or family members or even your workplace. And you've got this thing to in your head, do I go to the party? Do I not go to the party? You know, all these things that the way that Christianity was being presented to us was a very legalistic, you don't do, you don't do, you don't do. And then you're watching services on YouTube and you're seeing brothers and sisters in other parts of the world really worshipping or dressed just in the jeans and t-shirt and looking rather casual and rather contemporary. And all of that is messing with your mental state, your mindset, because then you read the word and you see that and there's no correlation. And you've come from a structure that didn't allow you to ask the questions as to, but how comes that change? How does that work?
Do you think they get resentful? You know what I'm saying?
And that resentment feeds.
And then you got a lot of angry people that nobody can answer questions to.
And give them the answers, and we
have been shunned within our community, you know, in terms of don't say, don't ask, as Nikki, you know, we grew up with don't ask. Just do. And we've seen generation of young men and young women leave the church because they asked questions. Now the question is today, you know, I remember when I was a teenager and somebody asked said that somebody's got bipolar. And they said that no, we don't believe in that because we're Christians. You know what I'm saying? Now that's that, you know, looking at that now, I'm like, wow, like, you know, dual personality, you know, how do we translate this into faith?
Yeah.
How do we get healthy from that, you know. And in the past, it's always been that mentality, as you mentioned, in terms of, you know, casting out, and we have this habit of casting out this, casting out that, and casting out this. When is it just as straightforward as that, you know? And this is where the grey areas come with mental health, is because the clash is this: what is mental health of a Christian in faith, in our, especially I have to talk within our community. It's a very demony kind of thing, because I grew up as being open about it. Like, you know, I grew up, I had epilepsy when I was younger. Now, I was fortunate, I grew up in a certain type of church.
Yeah.
But I didn't realise until I was older that other churches would see that as someone being demon possessed.
True.
You know what I'm saying? So when I'm having a seizure, you know what I'm saying? They'd be like, yo, we need to pray this out. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I use this demon out because of that. So I was fortunate that I never grew up in an environment that was like that.
Yeah.
But then when I got older, I realized that people were growing up in that environment of, let me pray that demon out of you because you're having a seizure, because the Bible talks about, and it's,
it was because they took things so literally.
Literally.
Yeah.
And it's you know, again, even now, like, oh, my head's hurting, you know, because you realise.
The trauma.
Honestly, that's the word, it's the trauma.
The trauma, and so many of our peers, you know, and even, you know, now who would be in my brother's age group, you know, those who are in their 60s, 70s, do not want to know anything about this God. This God, if this God loved and cared, why? And unfortunately, through the adults that supposedly were meant to be parenting them, whether it be grandparents, parents, aunts, uncles, it was either beaten out of them or it was we don't want to buy any food, we'll give the money to the to give church instead. Or, you know, what, as you rightly said, those things, if you had a stutter, let's pray for healing. Things that God never, you know, the Bible was not written as this magic formula.
Yeah, thank you.
And when he says about healing, if we understand that we serve a God who's sovereign and is all-knowing, all-seeing, then we have to trust that there'll be times when it's not going to go the way that we want. And again, going back to the fact that we're in a very secular society now, because it's all about me. We're a very selfish society, and yet our faith says, you need to be selfless and you need to trust that when I say A, i.e. this is God, you know, I know what I mean when I say A. Now, what happened was a lot of our parents or grandparents or those who were caring for us said they did it in a very dictatorial, non-loving way. When I say to you A, you just do it.
Just do it.
Don't ask questions.
Yeah. Yeah, no, 100%, and I think that, you know, 100%, you know, agree with the whole element, and a lot of people are probably listening in we have a generation of people that's hurt by church. There's a phrase that one thing came out in early lockdown, and I'm going to be, because obviously this is a lockdown chat, something came out, and a lot of people are saying, you know what, people starting coming out with church hurt. And church hurt because of basically people manipulating people, and people actually seeing a manipulation when they spend 2-3 weeks away from a toxic environment and you detoxify.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You start to feel better, and the negative, and now people think, is this guy a Christian?
It's
a detoxic, and then people are now like going, hold a second, that was actually not healthy. And what we've seen is that and I always said to people, you can have a look at your minister. Is he empowering you, or is he making sure you don't get past him? Now, Christ came on earth to empower 12 men to do greater. He said greater than I do. So if a guy who actually lived, and there's facts out there, so if you want to check out, if you're not a Christian, you're listening, it's a digis, there's a fact that this guy called Jesus lived on this earth, and he pushed 12 guys to do this thing. And he invested in it. He said, you will do greater. Yeah. But then when I'm seeing my leader who follows this great leader do the opposite, oh, you seem to be coming up, I'm going to chop you down. Yeah. You can't be greater than me. I'm not going to teach you to learn for yourself.
Yeah.
The only way you can learn is if I drip it down to you.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's the sadness of what man can do. There's a Bob Marley line from what I quote a lot.
Bob Marley.
Man to man is so unjust. And we forget that's the pureness of our faith in Christ
is beautiful.
Is exactly. It's a beautiful thing. You know, we believe that Jesus, that there's Jesus, Holy Spirit, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, His Son, His Holy Spirit, yeah. the Lord Himself. Those three in one. Now, of course, that's like a very complex picture to also yeah. paint and understand. So there's twofold I can choose to look at that. I can either dissect it to such a degree that I then end up sending myself a little bit more doolally and I'm like, I can't fathom them out. Or I accept the simple truth that actually this God could be in three persons. Mm. The Holy Spirit that gives me a sense of direction, a sense of peace, that I believe that Jesus died on the cross, rose again, and is coming back. Mm. Now, that's the you could say the religiousness, if you want to put it in that box. But to journey through this life, there has to be something else that's come along with me. And for me, it's the Holy Spirit who gives me discernment, who gave me the skill set to say, go away, go to university, go and study. You will come across lots of people who don't have your belief, but I love them just as much. What we've had, unfortunately, from a Black British experience, for some of us, has been a very dictatorial mindset that we would lambast a cult or another, you know, faith, world religion, politician. Yeah. There's been many, you know, in certain African countries who are dictatorial and they have battered their people with politics and law and legislation that's kept them pinned down.
Yeah.
And we've done very similar, or certain of us have experienced pastors, female and male, who have taken the word of God. And as, unfortunately, that man-to-man unjust thing, this little section of it, I believe this is what God is saying, and taken that out of context to what else is going on in society. When really, why would you do that? That's because, going back to what you said there, Roger, I need to have some power. Yeah. I need to feel good about myself, because my own mental well-being has to be replaced with, if I feel powerful and I can lord that power over others, then that will give me a strength and a well-being that makes me feel good. And Christ never came for that.
But the thing is, yo, 100%. It's like, I said to somebody the other day, another Christian that was struggling in terms of through this period mentally and whatever. And I said to them, you know, I've been fortunate because, you know, I've been in situations where I'm not happy about the information being given, but I have other sources of information. And what we've been doing is so used to having one way of information that I always say to people, I said, sometimes we're so used to having fresh mango that sometimes when you're out of season, you need to have dried mango. You know what I'm saying? And it's not the way that we need to eat mentally. You know what I'm saying? But a lot, the reality for me is right now is the question is, in lockdown, Black Christians, or because obviously we're talking about Black being minorities, should be thriving, but actually, are they? They're asking questions, and which is good questions. And I think it's gonna be a brighter time afterwards. But it's not the questions that what the system that we left before lockdown is liking the questions. You know, we are a lot of young people are seeing our elders within the Black community and the white community don't even want to deal with the question of BLM, and that's a struggle for us because we see all these injustices and we're saying, but hold on a second, doesn't God care? And that's a mental struggle because you're looking at the mirror every single day knowing that you're second best, but everyone is happy with it within my faith.
Or it would appear to be.
It appears to be. I'm not happy about it.
And I think, and this is what, again, goes back to how we can help support each other and encourage each other to listen to ministers or to teachers that are purporting the message that says this is not what this faith is based on.
Yeah.
You know, God made the human race. And that's not trivializing, you know, like, well, I believe the children and let's shake hands. I'm not saying that. But break it down and say, look, he gave us the human race. Because at one stage, I'll be honest, I did think, Lord, this isn't good, you know, because at the rate I'm going, anyone who's Black or brown, just hold us all up, a bit like Hitler did back in with the Jews, and just kill us all, gas us all, because we're dying of diabetes. We're dying with high blood pressure. We're now dying of COVID. We're the first ones that, you know, I was just saying to to Roger earlier, you know, looking at some statistics, you know, professors, there's hardly anybody who's black who's a professor. There's hardly anybody who's a CEO in a company that's black. You know, you mentioned your brother, you know, they come over and everyone's like, there's only one. And it does feel as though, yes, you're right. Mm. What is the point? But Christ made us black, I believe, for a reason. Mm. And that reason was to celebrate the uniqueness that it gives us.
Yeah.
The dilemma is having people to celebrate that and all being reminded, so at least acknowledging, as you're rightly saying, the institutions are not going to change.
Yeah.
You know, I can have some hope, but they're not going to, you know, they're going to change.
Yeah.
You know, and we've been on the earth long enough now. There's at least some life experience going on for Roger and me where we could say we've seen enough to say, okay, that's not going to change. But it doesn't distract me from having a faith in God where there is a hope that things can change. Because if I didn't have that, then I might as well do, like I said, kill me now. Because I might as well disappear. I'm black, I'm a woman. Well, that's it, all over.
And do you think that, you know, again, you know, our faith has have all the tricks in the book in terms of taking care of ourselves physically and mentally but we don't access them.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying? And I feel that, you know, and it sounds harsh, you know, I got criticized a lot because I played football. It was like, said, oh, why do you need to spend time with the family? You need to do that. I play football on Saturday morning. I could have played it at a higher level and played two games on Saturday, do the usual, you know what I mean, whatever. But I just played one game and people had problems with it. They look at me now in my 40s and I still play football now and I see myself being in decently fat. You know, I'm not saying I'm not going to die tomorrow, but, you know, in decent health. And my peers are struggling and, you know, I says, well, the church told me to stop doing something that was physically and mentally good for my well-being. Yeah? And we don't encourage practical things which are good for our mental and physical health. So I've run a Christian football team for over 20 odd years, and we in the Christian League, we're the most successful team ever, but we haven't received a penny from the black-led church. Why? Because I don't see the importance of playing football
and how that supports your, and again, like you said, just reiterating that supports the mental well-being.
Yeah.
And I don't understand what it is. I think it's this, there's again, it's this fear or ignorance. I can't, sometimes I think I don't even say ignorance because is it a fear? And of course, Christianity is very much about a spiritual journey. Yeah. I mean, there may be other religions.
Faith, yeah.
I still struggle with that because I always think the Christian faith is very different to Christian religion. There's many of us who are religious and say we are Christians. Mm. But the faith of it is about a spiritual connection with God Almighty.
Yeah. Mm.
And when you want to make sure that that is being fed, you need to feed it with the right kind of things.
Yeah.
And part of that journey, as we've been told, our body is a temple.
Yeah.
You know, the way it was presented to us when I was growing up was just don't have sex. Don't have sex before you get married because it's a temple. They forgot to add that actually it's a temple when it comes to what you eat.
Yeah.
And what you watch.
Yeah.
And what you're listening to.
Yeah.
All of those things
feed
what goes on. And if your spirit, as I would say, if your spirit is not fed correctly, that's what ends up manifesting itself in conditions or mindsets or thinking. Mm. I mean, unfortunately for us here in Birmingham, during this period of lockdown, we've had an horrific killing of a young boy. And then, and you're like, how does a teenager kill another teenager? And they're only 14, 15, 16. Where does that come from? It tells me then that what's being fed to them spiritually wasn't great. And that could be from anything from the physical side of things of, you don't play football. You play football. That is it. The mark of the devil is on you. Can't be running around. You played on a Sunday. Oh my gosh, you played on a Sunday. You know, and all of that heaped on you. Then we've got a lot of our community watching things that just support a message of negativity about being black.
As
you were saying before, I think, Roger, you know, if you're spending time allowing your children or even yourself, this is beyond, in fact, I think this is across all ages. If you spend time watching violent videos, where does that message go to? It's spiritual. It taps into your spirit, which means you have to act that out in some shape or form. Yeah. You know, in my former life, I'll let Roger come in, but my former life as a teacher within pupil referral unit, that's what I saw. I saw the fact that if you fed them with negative conversations, words, and that's why we want to read the word, because we're told power in the word. Mm. But they would be fed negative words. They'd watch negative imagery. They'd watch things that were so counteracting to what they should be doing that they had to have acted out in some way. And what do they do? Act it out with an aggression, and then that became violent, and then they ended up, unfortunately, committing what we've seen here in our city a few weeks back.
Yeah.
I think we got a massive task on our hands. Mm. I think that we've got a when it comes to faith and mental health.
Yeah,
it's as a Christian, it's almost a case of I'm struggling myself. I know ways of communicating to people out there, but there's not many official. When I say official organizations, I'm talking about the church. Officially, is not talking the right language.
Exactly. A lot of people have the idea that when you have a mental health issue, it's a flaw in your character or in your faith. And that's something, I mean, coming from an African background, I'm Ghanaian, we have prayer camps to pray the demons out of people, you know. And how do I, like, you constantly have clients coming to me and saying that, how do I connect my faith with my mental health? Because if the joy of the Lord is my strength, why am I depressed? If I have not been given a spirit of fear, why am I anxious? You know, and there's just no congruence between what they are reading or what they have been taught or what they have heard from the pulpits and what they are feeling. And every time I remind them that, do you remember that there's a whole book in the Bible, the Psalms, and there was one man that I'm sure David's wife thought you nag. David was constantly complaining. David was constantly crying out to God. And David wrote these things down. And I don't think that just there for us to see that David was a man that liked to talk, but just for us to realize that, listen, what you're going through, somebody else went through it, and God still called him a man after his own heart. So you are not doing anything wrong for being in that place.
But your standpoint has to be then about the practical. They need to see somebody them do
exactly.
that. Unfortunately, the way it was always presented, you know, you've used David, of course, you know, he did some tremendous things wrong, but he loved the Lord tremendously. But if I'm going through something, I need to talk to Roger. Rather trivial, but Roger and I, obviously, we both love the game football. And I've always loved it. I used to play football. I'm not a great scholar on it, but I know enough to be able to talk about it. So if I come in, which can happen, and I come in, I go, Roger, so what happened to Liverpool then?
Yeah.
You know, we can talk about the teams that we love.
Yeah.
Mm. Come on, you Gunners. We are still the creme de la with it anyway, sorry. But you know, we can still but automatically Roger will come and go, yeah, I know, I don't know what's going on there, but you know, it's because look at Sane, you know, we've got something that we can talk about. I believe that when it comes to our mental health and faith, it's you choosing to have the courage to say to a Nikki, a Roger, whoever you have in your circle, I don't understand why I'm feeling like this. That you can then go to somebody and go, look, let's just read through what David's talking about here. And I've been in that place. We need to be more transparent
exactly
with what we go through. We came up in a time of church, black majority church, black led church, where people didn't share their stories. You found out 10, 15 years later that sister so-and-so had family in the Caribbean, and they've had children before, or they had somebody who died, and it really impacted their mental well-being. Transparency for me is key. Our faith is about sharing it, talking about it, and not demonizing anybody if they're saying, I don't want to pray today, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you can't say that too loud, you know.
I don't want to pray, actually.
No, because there are those days. There really are those days when you just wake up and you just want to see. You don't want to see your Bible. None of it makes sense to you. And we need to change the narrative and remind people that those days are going to come. But, and it's okay. You're not any less of a Christian for having those days.
You know, What kind of like for me really, really came across, and I just really suddenly when I dealt with, had conversations with Christians about, you know, concerning BLM and certain things. One thing, you know, when I'm talking to people, the one thing that scares me is no one's listening. No one doesn't listen. As you start the conversation, they will tell you their experience. They will tell you. And I think that we are very, very poor listeners with, you know, in our faith, in our circle. And we just need to shut up and listen.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, and that's what we need to do. You know, when somebody comes up to me and says, Roger, I got this issue with faith and mental health, you know, okay, tell me. Oh, by the way, this is why. And we're so used to being doing that. And I sat down there and I've seen it all before. And I'm probably sound like I'm always going to this BLM thing, but it really exposed the heart of people because, you know, when you go, yo, this is tough. And they say, oh, Roger, by the way, I've experienced that. There's a bit of this, a bit of that, you know, whatever. And it's white and black. Because, oh, yeah, it's okay. And I'm sitting there going, I haven't completed my sentence. So you are saying it's okay for my sons to be less likely than your sons to get a job. But it's cool because when we come in this building, we all equal.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? So, you know, isn't the Bible about injustice, about helping people? That so it's like no one wants to hear that narrative, but they want to focus on what suits them. You know what I mean? And I think that, you know, Nick is 100% right, that we should be able to be in a comfortable thing of conversations. But what I'll be encouraging the Christians to do is sometimes just listen. Yeah. Because you know what? We're too afraid of the truth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And a lot of people are going through stuff, whether they're Christian or not, and they lean on people. You know, let's be real. As being the only person in the room as being a Christian, and they always come to you and tell you your business. And you're like, okay, what are you coming to me for? They almost treat us like the clergy of the whole workplace because they expect us to have that moral stick.
Yeah.
And in a way, good. I think we should do. I think it goes back to a couple of things. Our faith talks about we know that there is good and evil, right? We're in a secular society that doesn't want to address that there could be evil, and we don't really address, you know, we want to say everything's love, but there is a force out there called the enemy. It's evil. His role in life is to disrupt in any shape or form that looks.
Yeah.
From going to Mackey's or any other fast food outlet is available. Going, you know, and that you wanted a cheeseburger and you got there and they said sorry and got, what do you mean? You know, you're getting upset over it. You're like, really? I've got upset over a triviality that I didn't have my favorite burger, through to a marriage breakdown, or of course, as so many of us have experienced in this last year, the death of a loved one in a way that we would not expect. And the fact that we are a community group that worships, that comes together, that makes sure that we lament. Yeah. It's been a struggle. Yeah. Yeah. And this, as you're rightly saying, and this approach of, let's just pray. How do you fill the gap when they've missed their loved one and they can't get to that hospital when we would have easily 100, 200 people and they're telling you, sorry, you can only have 30.
Yeah.
You know, and we come from a community that's about expressing our grief.
Mm.
That again is going to buy into the fact that our mental well-being is a struggle.
Yeah.
So it is, you know, Roger's right. How we listen, because you can be listening, but how you listen is going to be key. And how we give people the space to cry at that when they need to. Because you rightly said, you know, Peter lamented, David lamented. Look at Peter. Peter was like, I don't know no Jesus. Big three times cursing him out. He didn't just say, well, I'm sorry, I don't know that Jesus. He went big time. We would know certain words that you were like, really? And we were in a setting that said, you don't cuss, you don't do da 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 da. And Christ actually shows in the word, it did say that people did do that. So it's fundamental that we remember that we are human, but if we're coming from a faith standpoint, he's given us enough strength that we can then say, joy does come. But be prepared that you are going to cry.
Yeah.
You are going to lament. You are going to come to a hurdle. You think, I can't jump this hurdle today. I'm tired of jumping the hurdle. You know, like Roger said, I'm tired. When I was in the workplace, really? I'm still going to be the only black woman again? After a while, you're just thinking, this is not easy. It is. It is. You know, it was a struggle. And part of the journey to say, look, you know what, I'm going to go self-employed was because I needed to own me differently. And I'm not to say that that's for everybody. And I think we've also got to be, and that's another conversation about, don't just push everybody who's black or brown. Go and work for yourself. Because we do need people to be in organisations to help to change some of that narrative. But be prepared that you're going to hit walls that you don't want to, that aren't pleasant. And the way that you come for, you know, pick yourself back up from it is to have people that will listen in a way that they really know they've been heard.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, if pretty much we've discussed a lot of what, I mean, everything.
Have we?
We just like gone in.
We covered it.
Honestly, and I mean, those are the kind of natural conversations we should, those are the kinds of natural conversations we should be having, you know. And I just want to touch a bit more on church trauma and the stigma with mental health within the church and what that has looked like before we actually go into what we've already actually talked about, what the church can do better to support. And if we think that it's enough, it's high time we stop doing the give it to God thing and give it to God and still talk to your therapist. That's what I call it. And I saw a quote somewhere that said, you can give it to God and still talk to your therapist. And I found that interesting. But first, let's talk a bit about mental health stigma and trauma, church trauma, that, I mean, translates to mental health, mental illnesses or mental health stigma within the church.
Okay, well, I'm going to do it because I know we're running out of time. So I'm going to try and do this, the stigma. I think the stigma is that basically mental health is demonized. It's straight up demonized. You say mental health, it's straight up like, you know, like I said to you earlier about bipolar, about, you know, schizophrenia, depression, and depression. Exactly. And the thing is that we don't deal with the symptoms, with early symptoms, the anxiety and the depression. We allow things to go so far, you know what I'm saying? And what we need to be doing is doing positive things for our mental health. Okay. You know what I mean? Okay. Going for drugs. You know, yeah, just some, there's some drugs that help you. No, I did not say that, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, there is paracetamol is amazing, it takes the pain away. Sorry, because I have a lot of coffee, so that's probably I need some more. But going for drugs, forcing yourself to go to walks, you know what I mean? Some of us, if you need to get a dog and then walk the dog, you know what I mean? Some of these little things that make a big difference. I think we just need to encourage, and I think churches think it's disempowering to encourage healthier people. I don't know what it is. They feel like their only health has to be through me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can do other stuff outside of that, and just encourage people, go to the gym, go once a week, do this. Stop waiting until you're almost half dead and you have to pray everything out physically and for the mental stress. So there's such a stigma over it. It's unreal. We just want to encourage people to just take care of, there's practical ways of looking after your mental health early and your physical health as well, because they're both tied in together. People get depressed when a sick, my wife does something about with her kidney care, and I'm hearing like some of the a kidney warrior and some of the conversations he's having, that when people get the diseases and the diabetes, and they go into depression. You know what I mean? Because they're not getting healed, so they just keep getting depressed. So all that is mental health. So we have to tie it both together and recognize that we have to be practical with dealing with these things, not just let's pray it out at the end, you know.
I have to add that, again, we have a faith that is a win-win. And that seems really strange to say, but we do have a faith that's a win-win. And healing is not just in a physical, all right, then I hurt my finger, oh, suddenly my finger's healed. There's a healing that may even come through death. And I'm saying that, of course, with caution, because I know that there are many who are listening who must say, what do you mean, Nikki? But if you have been in pain, or you've been diagnosed with a terminal illness or a chronic illness, for some of that particular individual's journey, then the peace comes in knowing that they're going to be with their maker, and that will free their mental state and their mental, and it takes away that anxiety, that pressure that comes in to being told, but I've got to be well, I've got to be well, I've got to be well. Wealth to do what?
Yeah.
If you fulfill the purpose that God has given you and you have a sense of that, then actually you can be at peace. Because peace is a wonderful antidote, isn't it? To our minds. And that's what you say. When the stigma is because we've been told we're in a society that's racing. Yeah. We've got to get to work quickly. We've got to get to thing, you know, even when, as much as they were great, drive through to get your food. Don't even wait for it. You know, don't even park up the car, go into the restaurant, sit down. No, no, no. We need it drive through. We want coffee drive through. We want burger drive through. And all of those things are adding to that, take away what God gave us, which was a peace that passes understanding. And to stop telling yourself you need to know everything.
Mm.
We don't need to know it all.
Mm.
We need to just be in Christ, if that's what your faith standpoint is, and be at peace with what he's given you for today.
Mm.
Stop striving and pushing yourself for something that you don't probably need today. Which, remember, there's so many things. He said, give us this day our daily bread. Mm. Now that's, and that daily bread could stand for our amount of hours to work. You know, if you do 2 hours work, do the 2 hours good. But don't tell yourself that, I should stay at work till 3 and 4 hours because they're going to look at me favorably if I stay. All of those are taking away the peace.
Mm.
When he's told you your daily bread was, I was giving you a purpose to fulfill for 3 hours. Or it might be for 10 hours. But whatever it is, don't overstress and overstrive because the peace is what we're all after.
Yeah.
And that's where so many people struggle. So the stigma is about, we don't talk about depression because we haven't mentioned actually what you actually need is peace.
Yeah.
So you do need to just rest in green pastures that David is told to do. You need to stop and sleep. You know, something as simple as that. You need to stop and sleep. You do need to take yourself away from the screen for 10 minutes. Now, please remember that he's given you the ability to do it. Don't pass the buck. We are in a society and in a time, and in particular our community at time. Let me see if somebody else, nobody wants to take responsibility.
Yeah.
Let me see if Roger does it first. If Roger does it first, then I might do it.
Yeah.
And you, well, I'm going to wait until the pastor tells me if it's all right for me to go. God has given you enough sense and wisdom to say, if you feel unwell, go to the doctor.
Yeah.
If you're struggling, ask for help.
Mm.
This attitude or this horrible pseudo-Britishness that we've, stiff upper lip, let's just wait and see. We've all, you know, hang on a second, but you need, like, I've got a, you know, for me personally at the minute, I've got a dodgy knee. My right knee has been playing up. Now I've had two operations on it. I love to go for walks. And then suddenly I'm feeling, let me just keep praying over my knee and the Lord will heal it. And the practical thing is, I had to get up and say, you know what, Lord, I know part of the healing journey is go to the doctor, find out what's going on, get an MRI scan, and let's work with that. That is also part of the healing. This miraculous healing doesn't come for everybody. And the key thing we want is peace, peace of mind that passes all understanding.
Mm.
Here endeth the word.
100%, 100%, I believe in that, man. But yeah, did we answer that? Okay.
Pretty much. I mean, that was it. You can give it to God and still talk to your therapist, you know, because... I mean, no,
that's a good phrase.
I love that. Yeah,
I love, and the thing is, you know, what you know, I know we've already gone over time, but what I do love with that phrase, it's saying that it's not a sin, and I think it's not a weakness to seek help on earth, and we've been made to feel like a lack of faith because we get things done on an earthly manner, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But and especially we got over the doctor thing, but now we need to get over the counselor thing.
Yeah.
Something that I know there's we watch a lot of sitcoms from America. Have you noticed they always have family counselors?
Yeah.
They have a culture of counselors.
Yeah.
We don't have a culture. You know, that is seen as a weakness. If you go as a family to see like, you know how many marriages could be saved right now? How many family breakups happen just because we refuse, whether it's through the pastoral team that you have or through a secular person, let's book a session with the counselor. Let's go down there. It's a massive thing in America.
Yeah.
But over here, we don't do that. You know what I mean? So, like, for me, it's that culture that needs to be changed. You know what I mean? I'm not saying we don't take it to God. I'm just saying that, you know, we need to be also mindfulness, things here on earth to help us.
But he, but he, and because he gave the, you know, he wouldn't, why give man the skill and the ability to know how to, from science and therapy, and why he wouldn't have, I don't understand that this God is not that selfish that he want, I want it all for me, keep it to me, don't give it to the people I've created. He's given us that skill set. And you're right, it's a similar thing for, you know, women's health. America or other countries, it's a done deal, everybody has a gynecologist. Here in England, we don't go there. You know what I mean? So that's a similar. It's a similar. Men, we don't go to. We don't go to the doctor to talk about it. You know, we're not. And hence why we have that. You said that propensity where it's grown and grown, a little bit like liquid. You know, when you throw a river, you know, you throw a pebble in, that ripple effect has just widened and widened, and it's all because we didn't. Just say, actually, let me go to a man who's been given the skill set by God in the first place to get out me out.
Yeah,
that's cool. Yeah, man.
Honestly. And I mean, these are the safe spaces we need to be creating. More of these conversations where people are just going to be saying that, listen, 100%. We are struggling, but you don't have a demon that needs to be cast out. And someone is there to listen.
And I think that now more than ever, and this is going to be the last thing I say, man. You know what I mean? Now more than ever, I think people need to now realize where we are at as Christians right now. We're not saying what we were saying 20, 30 years ago. And I'm getting sick and tired of people seeing me through the goggles of their hurt. And I fully get the whole physical and mental health. And as myself and as Nikki, we all, as you can hear this, this is why this conversation is important, because people have a negative perception based upon their bad experiences of themselves or through their parents. And there's a lot of that out there within our community. So we want to break that. And this is why it's good to have these conversations.
Thank you so much, Nikki and Roger. My question paper was useless because
I told you.
this conversation was, I mean, it's amazing, and we need to. I think we should have another one of these discussions. I'm happy somewhere, to, yeah, happy to do. Soon.
I think you know, there's things that we could probably say that we know others wouldn't have the gumption. I was about to say the balls. They wouldn't have the balls to say it. Because, like you said, exactly. Oh no, that's it. Strike them from the, put them on the box. On the box, on the box. But no, that because you know that's what I'm saying. So the thing around women's health, men's health, you know, especially Black British, and I have to be careful because I know there are other community groups, but we're going to be specific. Yeah. That to me. I have to go with the spiritual thing, is such a horrible seed that the enemy sowed that we just watered. And forget, you know, he's sitting there with his arms folded going, believe it, and we've watered it. I'm not going there because I don't have no man touch me things. No one's going to touch me things. The men are walking around. You know what I mean? They're like walking around. They've got prostate going on, or their testicular cancer, or, you know, or they are struggling if they are married, you know, or in a, you know, if they're not, but if they're having, if they're in a sexual relationship and it's not happening, we start, God, would God want to know about that? Of course he wants to know about that, you know. The same for females. We don't celebrate that God's given us. He gave us in a particular order, and that's where people then get it. For me, we've gone wrong. Yeah. We try to make out that, no, it doesn't matter. He set it up in that particular principle way because he knew what he was doing. Do you know what I mean?
True.
However, he said, when you're in it, don't then just sit down and go, well, I'm married now and I better not talk about that, because that's the whole point. Yeah. And that's why we do need those alongside the anxiety. And that it is, it's about, if we could have nipped some of this in the bud. You were so right, Roger. If we could have nipped it in the bud.
Yeah.
If we're going to turn around and explain, why are you taking the £10 to give to Tyson and we ain't got no food in the cupboard?
Yeah.
All right. Well, on that note.
Sign up. Thank you guys. So thank you, Roger. Thank you, Nikki, so much. It's been an amazing conversation. And I'm hoping we have more of these. We're transforming the narratives, you know. So thanks for joining us. And as always, this is the This Is My Lockdown podcast. And my name is Angela, and I am your hostess. Thank you.